Good evening, Dermot Doherty here, and you're welcome along to The Score ahead of a busy bank holiday weekend of sporting action. On tonight's show, we'll preview some of the big sporting events of the weekend. There'll be Gaelic Games, League of Ireland football, and local football too. And our guest in studio will be Carol Harvey, the chairman of Letterkenny 24/7 Triathlon Club, who will be giving us a flavour of how things are going in a sport that is growing in popularity all the time. Before all that, we'll take a look at some of this evening's sporting headlines. The Republic of Ireland's opening game of the Nations League will now be away to Armenia on June the 4th. Stephen Kenny's side were supposed to open at home to Ukraine, but the change has been made to facilitate Ukraine's rearranged World Cup playoff with Scotland. After the trip to Yerevan, Ireland will have home games with Ukraine and Scotland before a June 14th away game with Ukraine to be played at a yet-to-be-determined venue. The Republic of Ireland men's under-16s have been this week involved in an international tournament in Serbia, and they ended the competition on a high today thanks to a 3-2 win over North Macedonia. Derry City's Trent Conan-Doherty scored twice, with Hull City's Stan Ashby winning the game in the final minute on his first international appearance for Ireland. And a solitary goal courtesy of team captain Hannah Healy of Holy Faith Secondary School in Clontarf was enough to see the Republic of Ireland schools record a third win to win the Bob Doherty Cup in Newcastle. That's at under 15 level. Donegal's Orla Doherty of St Columba's College in Stranraer and Cashi Crumlish of Carndonagh CS both played in today's game, and both were an important part of this Irish team at the tournament. Kenesia McKinney of Scullwara Buncrana was part of the management team. And the Republic of Ireland women's under-16s got off to a winning start in a development tournament in Malta by beating Turkey by 4-0. Next up is a match against Lebanon on Saturday afternoon, and Buncrana Hearts player Jodie Loughry, well, she's captain of that Irish team. Tiger Woods will warm up for his return to the Open Championship at St Andrews by playing in the JP McManus Pro-Am in County Limerick this summer. The 15-time major winner will join a field including the likes of Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka at Adair Manor, the venue for the 2027 Ryder Cup. And in boxing, Convoy's Lee Boyd was crowned Defence Forces Champion today in the 86kg Elite Championship. He outpointed his opponent Shane Cunningham from Cork. Well, Donegal play Armagh in the quarterfinal of the Ulster Senior Football Championship a week on Sunday. And with news that tickets are being snapped up by supporters, it's a game that can't come quick enough for GAA fans here. The competition gets underway this weekend with an all-Northwest pairing as Fermanagh take on Tyrone in the preliminary round. The match is at Brewster Park on Saturday evening, and it throws in at 6:30. Tyrone are overwhelming favourites to advance to a quarter-final spot. Tom Comack has been speaking to former Tyrone goalkeeper Pascal McConnell.
Well, Pascal, it's not what a difference a year makes. It's not probably a year, but what a difference a season can make with Tyrone this time last year, part of the chasing pack, and now all of a sudden they've got a target on their back. They're the champions.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Tom. Getting the lovely tag and label of being All Ireland champions, and everybody's looking to get at you and get a shot at you. But look, you have to deal with that. It's a nice mantle to have, I suppose, you know. So, yeah, roll on the game again for Fermanagh. Yeah, certainly, there's nothing beats Championship Fair, and we're only just over a week away. So, we're really looking forward to the start of it here in Tyrone.
Yeah, I suppose the one thing that maybe has overshadowed maybe the lead up to the game is the number of players that have left the panel, you know, something like 7, you know, and even I read where Peter Canavan, you know, wasn't happy. It was a concern of his. Would that concern you?
It would concern me massively, Tom. It has thrown taken quite a hit. You know, with all due respect to the fellas that that had decided to step away from the throne setup, you know, as about their decisions have to be respected. You know, there is more to life and they have the reasons for doing so and things like that. So it's massive. Now, there are several of them players now that were big game players and had played a huge part, and none more so than the likes of Tiernan McCann, I thought had an excellent year last year and had a big impact any time he sprung on the bench.
Yeah.
And then Tiernan carried a lot of, quite a bit of leadership and experience with him, and also a score getter in Mark Bradley, so, and also Ronan O'Neill. So in that, I don't like to see any out and out scoring forwards leaving the setup, because,
and you can't forget Lee Brennan in that bracket.
Lee Brennan, Paul Donaghy, these lads that certainly know what the target is, and they're pretty clinical forwards.
Yeah,
you know, when
they
do get half a chance, to be fair to them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has overshadowed quite a bit. I would be concerned, as if you were to advance further on in the season, you do need to delve in deeper into your squad, and I think Tyrone's depth has taken quite a hit as a result.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the official word is that, you know, they all pulled away for maybe various personal reasons, but, you know, committed to the club maybe. Now, it's either a case that maybe things may not be all that great in the camp, or else it's a case of maybe players aren't just prepared to sit on the bench anymore.
That's it. You know, and there is a big difference between playing and losing. I know that, or playing and not playing, Tom. I've been there myself before. I've been sat on the bench, and mind you, times I wouldn't have been too easy to talk to whenever that was the case and things like that. You know, you go through all that commitment, training, and all that dedication that's required, and to find yourself on the bench is not an easy, experience to endure, I suppose. But, you know, it's we do see, and obviously last year epitomised the importance of the extended squad, and you know, when you look at the likes of things for Tiernan McCann, for example, came on again Donegal in Brewster Park and scored 3 points in play, and you know, you've lost that impact, you've lost that leadership, you know, so it is what it is. We have to deal with it. It creates an opportunity for newer people or other players to step up to the plate, and that's going to be demanded, there's no doubt about that. So whether they're up to the task, I'd say the games that lie ahead will determine that.
Yeah. On the plus side, obviously, how big a boost was that victory over Kerry in the league?
It was massive, Tom. Considering our performances weren't very much up to scratch, to call a spade on it. Our performances were very lackluster. Again, look, there's probably nobody more disappointed than the players themselves. You know, obviously the results and the performances that were there, but you know, when you look at the Donegal performance in the second half in Ballybuffet, obviously the Dublin game in the first half, and then Mayo, we just got over Mayo, didn't set the world alight too much, but the Kerry performance, to go there to Killarney, we all know how difficult it is, and come away with a massive 2 points, albeit Kerry were in the league final. But we were anticipating a massive Kerry challenge, because look, the sight of a Tyrone jersey, no doubt, would obviously gee up a Kerry man no matter what, and Jack O'Connor is a winner, he likes to win every day he goes out, so we're very buoyed here in Tyrone with that result and the performance alone, and showing that, look, Tyrone maybe just hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
You know, so it will take, I would say that it would take a good team to beat Tyrone in this championship.
Yeah.
And look, it's a timely boost before the championship, there's no doubt about that.
Matty Donnelly, one of the players, is going to miss out on the opening game against Fermanagh.
Yeah, it is a massive loss. Again, when you carry the experience that Matty has and the impact he has on the team, you know, and gives you another option, you know, and Matty's pretty versatile, and you know, you've lost that for that game. So look, there's nothing. No certainties in sport, Tom. Well, no sport can spring up such surprises from time to time. So we're under no illusion it's going to be a tough battle in Brewster Park. Fermanagh have nothing to lose. We do have the target in our back. And, you know,
You're going to go into the game as raging hot favourites.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, there's no certainties in sport. And, you know, the loss of Matty Donnelly is going to be an impact. You know, it's going to be felt. There's no doubt about that. We're going to need a lot of experience. And it's going to be an opportunity for the boys to step up to the plate and the more experienced players to lead through this. Because, you know, Fermanagh will be planning an ambush. And, you know, these things can happen from time to time. Yes, we should be beating Fermanagh. But look, we'll not look too far past Fermanagh and see how it goes. But it's good to get the thing open, up and running, and it'll be a tough place to go to, but it'll be a nice victory to come away with.
Tell me, what do you make of the overall, the championship, the new format, you know, so coming so early in the year?
Yeah, it's a bit of a venture. It's a venture into the unknown as such. I suppose it's a different time of year and things like that. There, it's not the. I suppose we're not going to get the basking sunshine that's always associated with Championship football, and it's obviously been pushed forward till an April start. But as GAA people, look, it's Championship time. We know how important it is. We know the hype around it, and it's great to have it upon us. And certainly, I think every GAA person, or you know, will be looking forward to the start of it. And if it's obviously pulled forward, that be 4 or 5 weeks. So be it. It's a nice time of the year, and it's a time to savour. And there's nothing beats the Championship Fair, Tom. That's for sure.
And Pascal, before we let you go, looking at the Ulster Championship overall, how do you see it pan out, or who do you see as the runners and the riders?
Well, obviously, when you know, Donegal, Tyrone, Monaghan. You know, you can add, and obviously Armagh may have something to say about that in Ballybuffet. It will be a tough challenge. Obviously, they've been hit with the suspensions and things like that. But look, it is what it is, and it's going to be an exciting challenge, no doubt about it. I do think the top three there, in terms of the Donegal, Tyrone, Monaghan, will have a huge say. And yeah, it's only show in town, and we're glad we have it. And you know, long live the Ulster Championship, that's for sure. And we're all looking forward to it.
Do you expect to see any new faces in the Tyrone team for Saturday?
Not really. Maybe anticipating too much change from what you know what was on show from the Ireland final, Tom. I think they will try and go with as much experience as they can, because the fact that it's in Brewster Park. And, you know, it's getting that first game over and done with. You know, obviously the challenge is there in Fermanagh, but I can't see too many faces. I think they will stay loyal to what's been tried and tested, and it served them well in Kerry in the previous game. And I think they'll just they'll probably go very much the same what they went with against Kerry.
There you go, Pascal McConnell there in conversation with Tom Comack. Yeah, it will be strange seeing Ulster Championship football so early in the year, and Fermanagh against Tyrone. 6:30 start on Saturday evening at Brewster Park, and that will be preceded by the Fermanagh Down minor game. That's at 4:45. The winners of that tie, by the way, play Donegal in the quarter final. There's Nicky Record Cup action as well. It's a busy weekend across the GAA scene at inter-county level and indeed at club level here in Donegal. We'll try and have a wee look at those fixtures later on in tonight's programme. But in Nicky Record Cup in the hurling, Donegal hosting Armagh at O'Donnell Park at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tyrone play Fermanagh. Derry City, they will enter the Easter weekend as the form team in the Premier Division. With 9 games now played and a quarter of the season now complete, City sit top of the Premier Division. This weekend, clubs face a double round of fixtures with games on Friday and then again on Monday. And joining me to look ahead to all the action is former Derry City and Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen. Gavin, thanks for taking the time out to chat to us this evening again. Another busy weekend of games up ahead. This relentless run of fixtures means it's a hectic time for all involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of games in the short space of time. It's been 6 days, I suppose, since Hearts played Derry, and they're going into the games tomorrow night, and then the game on Monday again. So it's a big ask, especially for the part-time clubs like the Harps and UCDs and stuff like that, you know. But again, players want to play matches, they want to play football, and that's what they're there for.
Yeah, and Derry managed to maintain this great start to their campaign, didn't they, Gavin, last weekend against Harps? It was a strange game because I think most people came away from it thinking that, you know, Derry, you almost thought they could have moved it up another gear and kicked on and won the match a wee bit more comfortably than they did in the end.
Yeah, but look, I suppose as Rory Higgins alluded to after the game, a derby one at any level is huge. You know, the pitch in Finn Park probably not what they're used to as well at Derry, and they were just delighted to get the one. You felt they could have done more, but at the same time they're probably holding stock and just say, glad to get out of there with what was a huge 3 points for them.
Yeah, and they do look a pretty formidable outfit at the minute, Gavin, don't they? And they had players to come off the bench as well who, you know, don't really weaken the setup at all.
No, their fitness levels and their energy levels look through the roof. And I read an article last week, an interview with Alan Reynolds, and he's saying how tough pre-season was and how much effort the players put in. And it's shown that every week, I don't know how many last-minute or injury-time winners they've got, but they just look relentless. They look really fit at the minute. And I suppose that comes breeds confidence as well. And you're seeing that in the results.
This weekend then, they host Shelburne, first of all, on Friday night at the Ray McBride Brandywell Stadium. Shelburne have proven pretty tricky opposition for some teams this season since their arrival in the Premier Division, Gavin, and I'm sure, you know, they'll come up to Derry thinking that they could, you know, cause City a few problems.
Yeah, they will. It looks like Shells are coming out to play and pass the ball and move it out from the back, and they have that belief that they can do that and get points. So they've been inconsistent. You know, they lost obviously at home to Harps 3-0 earlier on the season, but they've had some good results as well. So look, it'll be a tricky test, but at the same time with form and at home form in the Brandywell, like, it's very hard to see past Derry and getting another 3 points though in this one.
Yeah, as you say, Shelburne have, you know, they've lost games where you thought maybe they might have picked up points, and they had a good result, didn't they, at Sligo Rovers as well. So, you know, Derry won't be taking this one for granted.
No, I don't think any teams at that level or in the League of Ireland take any games for granted. Anybody can take points of anybody at any one time, and they have the players like the Mark Coyle at Shells, John Boyd at Shells, we know a lot about them, you know, and they become the Brandywell looking to upset the apple cart as such.
Okay, well, what about Harps then, Gavin? They travel to Dublin on Friday night to take on a Bow side who, well, they haven't really hit the ground running yet either, have they? They've only managed to pick up 2 victories out of their 9 games so far. Not the kind of start to the season that they would have wanted.
No, not in particular, but at the same time, I think they might have 12 points, so they're 6 points better off at Harps, and they will improve, they will get better. Just hopefully not this weekend. It's a tough ask. Any game going to Capital for Harps, you know, is tough with the travel and down that day and the players getting off work and stuff like that. So it's a big ask. Can they get a result in there? They did last season. They won 2-0 or 2-1 in there. So it's not impossible, but again, it's a big ask, and I'm sure if they got a point at this stage, they'd probably take it.
Yeah, and this is a Bows team who, well, I mean, they did win at Sligo Rovers as well, just as Shelburne did. They were held last weekend by Drogheda, and, you know, they have this good record against Harps. That victory that you mentioned there, Harps winning at Dalymount Park last season, that was a pretty unique experience, because yeah, Harps had gone so long before that without winning.
Yeah, you know, look, away to Bows for any team in the league is a really tough place to go, really. You know, they've a lot of good players as well, and as I say, at this point, if Harps got a point on Friday night, I'd say the ticket with open arms.
What do you make of Harps then, Gavin? I mean, Ollie had suggested at the start of the season that, you know, with all these new players coming in, it was going to take them a little while to settle, and it was going to take a little while for himself and Gavin Dykes to work out just, you know, just what those players were bringing to the setup.
Yeah, and I think they're still doing that. The jury's still out at this point. They're obviously not as strong a squad as last season. I think everybody accepts that. It's going to be tough. They've taken 6 points so far from the first 9. That probably won't be enough to keep them up over the season. They've only won 1 game, although away to Shells, which was a fantastic victory. And they're not scoring a lot of goals. They've only scored 8 goals in 9 games. So look, there's worrying signs there, but at the same time, you know, 1 or 2 results changes the whole landscape, and you're pushing up the table. So again, it's very hard to tell some of the new players. Some of them look decent 1 week and then consistent the next. So as I say, time will tell, but they need to start getting a few points on board.
Okay, well, it's another big weekend ahead for Harps. They're at Bows tomorrow night, and then after that they're at home to Sligo Rovers on Monday evening, Gavin. A North West derby again. Sligo very much deservedly taking the points when the two sides met at the showgrounds a couple of weeks ago, but perhaps we could be in for a completely different game at Finn Park.
It will be. Look, the pitch again has an influence. The way Harps play influences. But again, it's a derby, so you never know which way it's going to go. But Sligo themselves are a wee bit inconsistent so far this season as well. So it could go either way. Look, it's a big weekend. Away to Bows, home to Sligo. Like, nothing's taken for granted. Nothing's given. So again, if Harps are 3 points out of the 2 games this weekend, I'd say it would be well done. But again, if they 2 draws, probably they'd be happy enough with that as well.
Okay. Well, we'll look at these other fixtures then tomorrow night. Gavin, Harps and Derry, we've mentioned them already. A couple of other big games. Shamrock Rovers up against St Patrick's Athletic at Talla Stadium, and UCD against Drogheda is a match that Harps supporters will be keeping an eye on. We'll start with that Shamrock Rovers St Pat's game. Shamrock Rovers lying 6 points behind Derry City at this stage. St Pat's are in third place, then a further 3 points back. You'd like to think Shamrock Rovers will be feeling they'll need to start stringing some wins together to close this gap, Gavin.
They will, because the way they are going, they don't look like they're going to drop a lot of points. So a 6 point gap after one quarter of the season played is quite a gap. But again, I still, in my opinion, Shamrock Rovers have probably the strongest squad in the league and are probably still favourites to win this league. But at the same time, if St Pat's turn them over on Friday night and Derry won, that's a 9 point gap. But there's a lot of winning and losing and 9 points, you know, throughout the season. So they will be looking to win. Even a draw at this stage is probably not good enough for them.
Yeah, indeed. It's making interesting reading. I know it's still very early in the season, but you know, you just don't want that gap to be extended any further if you're in the Shamrock Rovers camp. The other match on Friday night then, UCD against Drogheda. Gavin, UCD picked up a decent draw last weekend at Sligo. They're only 2 points behind Harps. Not sure which way Harps will be wanting this one to go.
I would safely say they'll probably want Drogheda to beat UCD. But at the same time, a draw they would take as well. UCD have done okay in games. They don't look like they're going to score a lot of goals, so it's going to be a long, long season for them. I think Harps, Drogheda and Shells will all want maybe UCD to get cut adrift if possible and fight it out for the playoff spot. But at the same time, it would be nice if Harps didn't even have to think about that. But I think they will be for most of the season.
And the final game then tomorrow night, Gavin, is at Oriel Park. Dundalk hosting Sligo Rovers. Sligo in fourth, Dundalk in fifth. Two teams who have been in, you know, almost similar form so far this season. Yep. And both will be looking for an improvement in fortunes in the second quarter of the campaign.
They will. I think both clubs will want to be pushed on and maybe challenge for Europe towards the end of the season. Both very similar squads and whatever, although Dundalk's quite a newer squad. So again, it looks like Bowes, Dundalk, Sligo, St Pat's, that sort of mid-table teams will all be trying to fight it out with each other, so that one could go either way. It's sort of too close to call.
Gavin, it's great to talk. A busy weekend of action up ahead. We look forward to what promises to be another interesting weekend in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Dermot. Thank you. Bye.
Gavin Cullen there, who is a former Derry City and a Finn Harps goalkeeper, of course, offering his views on the current situation in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Hard to believe that we're already a quarter of the way through the campaign. By the way, Bowes against Finn Harps, Daly Mount Park tomorrow night. We'll have live regular updates on Highland Radio. Chris Ashmore will be in attendance at that game. Well, on the May Bank Holiday weekend, Letterkenny 24/7 Triathlon Club will host another Try event, where local people can avail of an opportunity to try out a triathlon for the first time. For some of them, it's a unique event and something that has been very successful for the Letterkenny Club since it was first organised a few years ago. Alongside me in studio this evening is Carl Harvey, the chairman of Letterkenny 24/7. Carl, great to have you on The Score. The Try event has proven to be a big way of attracting people to a sport which seems to be growing in popularity.
Yeah, great to be on. It certainly is. It's running about 6 or 7 years from the Oran Letterkenny. It's part of, I suppose, the annual calendar events that we have, but certainly it's the one that is, it's where we get new members in, get new people into the sport. Some people won't know that triathlon itself, across all age groups, is actually the fastest growing sport in the country, and this is our way to get people involved.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, people are out there trying to keep fit and trying out new sports and all, Carl, but you mention a triathlon and they're probably thinking to themselves, God, I'm not sure if I'll be up for that.
I think it's probably the biggest both myth maybe and barrier all in the one. So it is particularly easy to get involved. It's 8 lengths of the pool. It's about, I think it's 13 kilometres in the bike out as far as the turn off for Glenties and back. You 3 kilometres of a run. It's all manageable. It's all your own pace. The biggest challenge, I suppose, we have is trying to get people to see that. So what I would say is that people who are maybe not interested in partaking this year, come down for a wee look. you know, get, take some of the mystery out of it. It's, as it turns out, I suppose happily it's the biggest one in the country, and we're lucky that people support it, and sponsors for that matter as well, and the Aura have been very loyal to us. But it I suppose at times has this air of mystique to it. I don't like cycling, I don't like running, the swimming is tough going. Typically every year we'll have 3 or 4 out of the 100 who will walk the 8 lengths. It's at that kind of level, and it's not anything apart from at your own pace, do it as suits you. Above anything, we know there's going to be one winner, but everybody has a chance to actually enjoy it. Everybody gets a medal, everybody gets a t-shirt. Most people typically smile at the end of it. It isn't anywhere near as daunting as people probably perceive it to be.
Yeah, and it's a case of trying to get people to enjoy the event, if you can do that in the nicest possible way.
I think so, and I think most of the members in the club will have started off this way, so they have that sense of camaraderie and support. I mean, the day of the race, you have people who haven't been on a bike in a good while, people who don't know what a triathlon particularly is, it really is kind of come and have a crack at it. So there's a wee bit of kind of, I suppose, it's a bit more laid back maybe than you might have at a typical race. And it's, as I say, if people aren't familiar with it, are a wee bit curious about it, come down and have a wee look. It starts at 10 on May the 1st down at the Orange Alley Green.
Okay, well, how are things going overall then within the club, Carol? I mean, it strikes me as it's a very close-knit club where friends are made, could I suggest, and the sport, you know, is really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think so. And the contradiction might be that for such an individual sport, it's built around that kind of social side. It's built around that friends piece. I mean, we've a membership that we've retained about 90% of our members through COVID. And so for an individual sport, you know, we think that's pretty good versus maybe golf or otherwise. But we train 3 or 4 times a week. There's running on a Monday and the track. Your own Kieran O'Donnell takes that for us. Wednesday, the pool is packed with swimming. Thursday, even there's more running. Saturday morning, the club goes out in numbers on the road on the bikes. And it really isn't about... It's the social side, I think, that keeps people coming to the training. People will have progressed through the sport. They'll be doing longer things in their own right. But that social side, that friendliness, that mutual support, that kind of camaraderie thing is exactly what has kind of probably sustained us for the last 2 or 3 years particularly.
Yeah, and I know the club has some real quality athletes in there, Carol, but it's the athletes, you know, may I suggest that the more ordinary athletes further down the line who are just as important to the club.
Well, I think, Jeremy, to be fair, the club has some very good athletes, and then there are a few athletes who aren't quite as good as they think they are.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are folks like Margaret Kelly, Aidan Callaghan, Keith Fletcher from here as well. They've all done good things. Aidan and Margaret have gone off to World Championships, but for the likes of myself and 90% of the club, it is about participation. It is about that sense of personal achievement, that sense of kind of perseverance. If we could talk about a couple of the races just for a second in terms of that. I mean, the National Series is being hosted in Sheephaven this year. It's on the 25th of June. And to have a race of that kind of standing up and downings is testament to how long the club is doing what it's doing and doing well. People like Adrian Wasson are you know, pushing the boundaries all the time with what can be done and how well it runs. It's a sport that has, I suppose, in this neck of the woods, grown despite the odds. We're very far away from Dublin. People like Gary Cross, who people will know, have been very helpful and supportive to us, working with TI, Michael Black the same. But we're really, as I say, for a crowd so far from Dublin, we're pushing the boundaries, we're holding our own, we're growing as we go. But we want more people involved. We want people to come down and have a look. We have, for a number of years now, said, look, if you want to come down and try the training, no membership obligation, nothing like that, come down and try it for, you know, 2 sessions. Choose the ones you want. If you want to come down and try the running on a Monday night, and again, you know, go at your own pace and don't be put off by that. Take a friend if you want, if it makes it a bit easier. But we are at that stage where, like every club, we're trying to come out of COVID, we're trying to get the impetus and the momentum built again. And while there have been folks involved for a long, long time, top athletes, it is about the Joe Soaps.
Yeah.
That's what sustains the club.
And how were things during COVID then, Carol? I mean, I can imagine that, you know, at times it was difficult. Members were able to train on their own but not train as groups.
I think there are a couple of factors to it. Certainly not being able to see people. You didn't have the same, you know, social enjoyment of it for that matter. But also you were constrained in where you could train. You know, if you lived in the mountaintop and you had a 2-kilometre radius or if you live in a nice flat, you know, area, and you have two. So all that became, you kind of tried to do your best to keep muddling through, but it has taken a fairly concerted effort to try and get the ball rolling again in numbers. I suppose as we come into the summer season, so we train, as I say, we swim on a Wednesday night during the summer. We train in Garton Lake as well. And those wee things help. They get people back involved again. It's a different setting and it gets the numbers back moving again. But I don't think any club in the country will say that it hasn't had an impact. It hasn't taken more effort just to get the usual numbers out, let alone grow it.
Yeah, and how lucky are the members, Carl, and those into the sport to have facilities like that. Garton Lake, what a facility to be able to go out and enjoy and avail of.
Yeah, and Garton actually is the third race. So if we have the Tri-Tri on May the 1st in Sheep Haven, which is what they call the middle distance triathlon, which is just under 2K of a swim, 90k on the bike around Fannad, and then a half marathon to finish. But the race in Garton is at the end of August, and there aren't too many races nationally which take place against the backdrop of a national park like Glenveagh. So to train there is a privilege. To invite athletes from all over Ireland to race there is a real treat.
I can only imagine the logistics that have to go into helping to organise events like that, Carl. I mean, you're the chairman of the club and you're leading up a committee which puts in a huge effort.
They do, and most more than me, in fact, to be fair, and for a lot longer than me. I mean, the club is around since 2009 and started in relatively small numbers. So it has taken an awful lot of figuring out, an awful lot of kind of muddling through, getting a wee bit lucky in places around, getting equipment. The council have funded us, TI have funded us. We have been absolutely blessed for years with good sponsors and people that have stayed loyal to us. But they're all supporting that group on not just the committee. You're talking with marshals, you're talking with people volunteering their time on race day, particularly people manning car parks at 6:30 in the morning, getting eaten alive with flies out in Garton. Nobody gets paid for that. There's no reward for that. Maybe a Mars bar. But that kind of, I suppose, selflessness, kindness, volunteerism is exactly what kind of is required, I suppose, for every club, but ours in particular, given the nature of the sport.
Yeah, and those events wouldn't able to be held without the support and help of those people involved. I often see as well, Carol, that the members of Letterkenny 24/7, they're not just taking part in triathlon events, they're taking part in other races as well. You know, they're very active and very supportive of all these events across Donegal.
I think the sport probably lends itself to a general level of fitness, maybe. So whether it's, you know, 5Ks and 10Ks become much more accessible if you're running as part of your training, I suppose. But, I mean, folks involved in triathlon have come from all kinds of backgrounds. I mean, and backgrounds, and none for that matter, like myself. But people come from football, people come from a strong cycling background. We have many that come from a strong swimming background. Some that have come to the end of a career in one sport want to continue on something else, but they tend to have just an active lifestyle disposition anyway. So to see them in adventure race or see them in 5.55s, for example, you know, I think they're happy to be doing anything as long as they're not stuck on the couch.
And those that are maybe thinking about getting involved in the sport then, Carl, you guys are there to offer your help and assistance?
No, absolutely. And we're very fortunate as a club to have top-class coaching. I mean, we've highly qualified, highly experienced coaches, and they'll work at your level. I don't mean you, Jeremy. No, you're obviously an achieved sportsman, but I mean people who are nervous about this. Whatever your starting point is, there are experts there who'll bring you along, they'll encourage you, they'll put structure to it.
And the Tri-Tri event that's taking place on the May Bank Holiday weekend, it's booked out at this stage.
There are 8 spots left.
Right.
And that's probably going to change in the next day or two. We always have one or two dropouts, but it's typically around that. There'll be about 120 that take to the race on the day. The Tri-Tri is for people who've never done this before.
Yeah.
There's a second race on the day, what they call the Super Sprint, which is just a slightly longer swim. But the way it works for those who, if I can just for a second, you're put in with people who swim at the same speed as you. When you sign up through the Triathlon Ireland website, you're banned in that regard. So there's none of the kind of the competitiveness that might put people off. But 8 spots left, and absolutely raring to go. It'll be great to get people back muddling through transition, walking up and down a swimming pool, telling lies afterwards about how easy it was. we're quite excited about it. It's been a long time without that activity. And racing is what causes, you know, the sport and the club and people's enjoyment to be kind of fulfilled.
Yeah, because the, you know, a lot of people have been taking part in a training program ahead of this try, haven't they? Which is fantastic.
Yeah, what we tend to do is we tend to let people at it themselves. We publish a training plan, but there are other, you know, gyms around the town that have been building towards this as well. But we publish it. We let people do it in their own time. We give them the guidance they want. People aren't therefore put in a too pressurised situation, but we tend to find that people then get involved, progress the next distance. I mean, there are folks who did this race 4 years ago who are heading off to Estonia during the summer, who are heading off to Copenhagen for half Ironman, full Ironman. Kind of, you know, it becomes a wee bit of a lifestyle for some as well. So, but look, it all starts on May the 1st for most.
Okay. Well, Carol, it's great to have you in studio tonight, and we wish you well with that event on the May Bank Holiday weekend and indeed for a successful year ahead.
Thanks indeed.
Carol Harvey there of the Letterkenny 24/7 Triathlon Club. Well, the Donegal Youth League season got up and running last evening with all 12 teams in action. Kieran McGrath is part of the Youth League committee, and he's also very much involved in the Donegal Schoolboys League, which also got underway in recent weeks. I caught up with Kieran last evening and he gave a rundown on all that's happening at underage level here in Donegal. All right, Kieran, we'll chat tonight on Wednesday evening, which is the first evening of the new Donegal Youth League season. I'm sure you're more than happy to see games getting back up and running again.
Absolutely delighted, Chairman, to get the Youth League up and running. It's great to have six games underway this evening, 12 teams all involved. Probably the highest participation we've had in the Youth League in a number of seasons. And it's really, you know, on a good evening, just we're down here at a match in, down at Lakeview here when Letterkenny's playing Kilmacrennan, but six matches going throughout the county at an important age level for the game in the county. So, yeah, great to get up and running.
Yeah, on that fact, the age level, I mean, this is all about providing football for the teenagers at an important stage of their lives as well, but also clubs will benefit from them because once they finish playing at youth level, Kieran, you'd think that they'd move up into the adult age groups.
Yeah, traditionally, Dermot, you know, the schoolboys runs from right up until the under 16 level, and then you had the youth league. Now, a couple of years ago, the youth at the under 18 level was brought under the umbrella, so it's a proper pathway now, 12s, 14s, 16s and 18s. What happened traditionally in the past was that a lot of players at the 16s level dropped off and clubs lost them, whereas this age group now is important to hold on to the players and give them some football for that gap year between 16 and 18 to service maybe the senior clubs or their parent clubs in the Donegal Junior League going forward. Post-COVID, you know, some clubs may have found it difficult, and it's probably important that they have a youth team to try and establish continuity, and maybe it's essential to have a youth team maybe to safeguard them clubs in the future as well.
Yeah, and I'd say by the looks of things, more and more clubs would agree with that, Kieran, because this year 12 clubs and they're located all around Donegal, which is great.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Drumbar in South Donegal, the progressive club in South Donegal, they have come in. Balbuffet and Drumkeenan, East Donegal. You have the two Gidors, Gidor Celtic, Gidor United, Kilmacrennan, Mulroy, Fannett have come together there as well, you know, to try and safeguard football down, which is a hotbed of football for Donkey's years, and Father Mick was heavily involved in Fannett youth teams in the past as well. There, along with, you know, they're spread right throughout the county, and it's great to see. And then you have Bunnagee, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, and the Letterkenny area as well. So, you know, it's Milford, Kilmacrennan. It's spread right throughout the county, and it's good to see because it is a proper Donegal Youth League, because in previous years it might have been centred around Letterkenny and that kind of area, you know. But as I say, you know, we have them now in South, West and East Donegal, which is absolutely great to see.
Yeah, and how are things overall then at underage level, Kieran? Because you're also involved in the Schoolboys League. You're very much involved in terms of fixtures and administration. I mean, are things going okay there? We had our problems during the last two seasons with COVID and all, but it looks like we're almost back to normal again.
We're almost back to normal, yeah. You know, a couple of years ago and even last year, you know, there was too many games, I think, called off because of COVID and things. But I think people have realised that they missed football during, and they missed sport in general during that period. So now they just get on with it now. And I think it's more about participation than actual winning. Obviously, it's nice to win, but a lot of clubs now are just glad to be playing football because we've all learned the lessons of the pandemic. You know, young fellas cooped up in the house, isolated and not much to do. And I think people have learned from that and they're just getting on with it. From a fixtures point of view, yeah, very busy in Donegal. We have over 3,500 registered players between all the leagues, so that's a lot of football. I think it's the highest participation port in the county as regards it. we have three areas, Letterkenny North West, South Donegal and East Donegal. We've been up and running since the start of March, and things are going reasonably okay. Games are being played every night of the week, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and how does that work? I mean, there's a massive bit of organisation going on for that, Kieran, to organise not just matches and pitches, but referees as well, just to ensure that the games can go ahead.
A massive amount of organisation, but we've set rules in place, and we get them on, and it's all about the communication with the clubs. And to be fair to the clubs, I have to admire them. Most of them are buying into it, and playing within the rules, and that's what you want to see. And I think, as I said in my previous comment, I think it's just all about participation, and it can be difficult at times. There are certain issues that could crop up, but we try and approach them head on, and to be fair, 99% of the time we get them sorted, and that's to do with the help of the club and the players.
Yeah, and one of those issues that emerged this week was the email sent out to the various clubs at schoolboy level, Kieran. There appears to be some issues concerning discipline and spectators at matches. Do you care to comment on that?
Well, it's out there now in the public domain. The clubs were notified during the week by email by our disciplinary officers. It's not a thing that I'm actually particularly involved in, as I'm more in the fixture side of things. But it was just a note to clubs warning them of their conduct, because there was just a couple of incidents that might need attention. But it's prevention as well, rather than before anything more serious may happen. And that was the text of the email. Now, saying that, we've got about 80-90 games a week. These incidences are completely the minority, but it was just a wee wake up call, maybe to clubs, maybe to maybe look after their affairs just a little bit better, especially on match days, and hopefully parents, clubs, players will all take heed of the email that went, and maybe we can be in a better place going forward.
Okay, well, we're chatting tonight here down at Lakeview Park on the grass pitch at Lakeview. There's the youth match between Letterkenny Rovers and Kilmacrenan Celtic, and here behind us on the brand new AstroTurf facilities, Kieran, there's training going on at underage level. It's great to see. There's a hive of activity tonight.
Oh, it's a hive of activity. Letterkenny Rovers were renting out facilities for their training. Now this new Astro opened a couple of weeks ago. It was a lot of sweat and tears and hard work by everybody involved in the club to get it up and running. But when you see what's happening here today and every day since it has opened, it's been absolutely wonderful, and it's great to see. We're just looking here at the Astro Dermot, and there must be, 40 kids training in various sessions. And it's been like that for the last 2 weeks since we opened. And it's good to have this facility to stand us in good stead now for a long number of years going into the future. And I think it was something that we needed and something that the town badly need it, and it's absolutely wonderful to get it up and running.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for all that, Kieran, and best luck for the season ahead.
Thanks, Dermot.
Kieran McGrath there. And by the way, those results from last night's Donegal Youth League's opening round of fixtures, Kilmacrenan Celtic won that game against Letterkenny Rovers by 3-2, a really good game at Lakeview Park. In the other matches, it was Ballybofey United 0, Drumbar 2, Ballyrean 2, KG Rovers 3, Gweedore Celtic beat Drumkeen by 2-1, Milford United had a 3-0 victory at Gweedore United, and in the other match it was Mulroy Fanad 0, Bonagee United 1. And the fixtures in the Donegal Youth League will continue next week. In Gaelic games then, we heard from Pascal McConnell ahead of Fermanagh's game against Tyrone, which is the opening match in the Ulster Senior Football Championship. The following weekend, Donegal in action against Armagh in a Ulster Championship quarter-final. And joining me on the line now is Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat. Peter, I mentioned earlier on tonight's programme that tickets selling fast for that game. There's obviously huge interest in this Donegal-Armagh tie.
Yes, Dermot, I see. And after the happenings, I suppose, in the league game in O'Donnell Park a few weeks back, it probably upped the interest quite a bit. And then with all these proposed suspensions and Rian O'Neill then having his suspension quashed, I suppose, has even generated more interest. I know that the players, I suppose, are not... This media ban is still on, and probably we're not getting to know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think there has been plenty of interest in the game, given the you know, that there'll be three Armagh players missing and two from Donegal for the game, and then the controversy over Ian O'Neill, I suppose, added to that, and the fact that he's playing now will probably add more interest to it, and that's the reason why I think everybody wants to be there for this showdown on Sunday week.
And how big a boost is it for Armagh then to have Ian O'Neill available again, Peter?
Oh, it's a huge boost. Like, we talk about Michael Murphy in the Donegal team. At the moment, Ian O'Neill is Armagh's Michael Murphy. He's that good. And he will take some watching. Obviously, he'll probably be in full forward or in the full forward line somewhere. And I'd say Donegal will probably be exercising a sweeper somewhere in front of him, because he's a big, big, tall young lad, and he's very good in the air. And he's very good when he gets the ball, so it'll be a matter of maybe stopping him getting that ball. I know, like, all the focus of the game won't be on Ryan O'Neill. Armagh have plenty of other players that'll have to be watched as well. But like, he is a big player for them, and that's why it's important that he's there on Sunday week.
And there are two teams, Peter, that you know had similar form in the league. Donegal, where do you see them at this stage? I mean, will they be, I'm sure they're happy to have retained their Division 1 status, but it was a league campaign that served up, you know, plenty of interest and different form during the campaign.
Yeah, there were ups and downs. Like, Armagh were the real team of the opening two or three weekends. They were the form team coming into it. It seemed that they were maybe, their fitness levels might have been ahead of the others at that stage, but like, they'd went to Croke Park in their opening game and beat Dublin, and I suppose that raised the eyebrows right away, and the focus was on them. And they, you know, if they had beaten Donegal, they had the possibility of being in a league final. It may not have worked out for them in the end, because Mayo probably would have got ahead of them on the head-to-head. But yeah, it's a big year for Armagh. They went very, very close in the Ulster Championship last year against Monaghan, and they want to push on. The fact that they will be short, the three players that are suspended, is a bit of a blow to them. It'll be three of their players that they would be using on the day, two starters, and Stephen Campbell, they've been using him as a super sub, an impact sub all throughout the league, and he is a very, very experienced player, has been there for quite a number of years. But, you know, you talk about Donegal, they had a very up and down league. They had some very, very good halves of football, but they didn't put that many full games together, and that's probably what they have to do when they meet Armagh come the match in Balvafay on Sunday week. Like, they're going to have to play for 70 plus minutes if they're going to win that game. We saw Armagh came to Letterkenny, and you know, there was a bit of shadow boxing in the first half, and Donegal probably could have had them out of sight, but for giving away a bad goal. But other than that, when they brought O'Neill on at half time and Rory Grugan as well, they looked a completely different team in the second half, and Donegal were put to the pin of their collar to get the result. And you know, they showed a bit of fight in getting that result, and that's important, and that should stand to them as well. But like, I wouldn't, if I were a betting man, I'd say it'll be a very, very close affair when they meet in the championship.
Yeah, well, we know plenty about Donegal and Armagh. We've seen Monaghan as well in McCool Park this season. Peter, you know, Tyrone will begin a defence of their Ulster title on Saturday night at Fermanagh. This Ulster championship is not going to be easy to win.
No, it's not. But, you know, there's obviously Monaghan, I think they played down in the first round, and like, down seemed to be in a bit of shambles after the weekend. Whether they can recover from that with players being disciplined and manager almost stepping away, it's not good for them on that side of the draw. But like, the Tyrone and are still the team to beat. I know they've lost a number of players, but they still have a very, very strong panel. And you know, the team that beats Tyrone will probably win the Ulster Championship this year, I think.
But
they have to go in as favourites. Donegal, like, we don't know about their playing personnel. They had some injuries They will be without Oran McFadden Ferry. And like their panel is going to be stretched come that game with Armagh. But if you get past one game, you get a bit of momentum, anything can happen. But it will be a very, very close championship again.
Yeah, and I know Derry put a huge effort in to try and gain promotion out of Division 2 this year as well. I mean, Rory Gallagher's made huge progress with Derry. How do you see them, Peter?
Well, it's difficult to know. They did make good progress in the league, and then obviously it just came up short for promotion at the end of it. They certainly, you know, you said they've made progress. There's no doubt about that. But whether they've made enough, you know, to reach the levels that, you know, the Monaghans, the Tyrones and Donegals were at. They came to Ballybofey last year and ran Donegal very close. Whether they can get over the line that little bit further, it's hard to know. But they will be there or thereabouts, that's for sure. But, you know, you'd have to say that Tyrone have set the mark, and if they can get above that, yeah, they'll be there too.
Yeah, OK, 6:30, Brewster Park on Saturday evening, Fermanagh and Tyrone will get the Ulster Senior Championship up and running. You've been watching plenty of club action in recent weekends here in Donegal. Peter, it's been a good, lively start to the new season. I know county players haven't been involved with their clubs, but I'm sure you've enjoyed the game so far.
Yeah, the games, actually, the club games have been very, very good. You know, they've been played in a very, very good spirit. And maybe the quality of football isn't overly high yet. We've only played two rounds. It would look like, you know, the holders of the Division 1 title, Neve Connell, they seem to be the one team that have hit the ground running, putting up big scores against Ardra and Killybegs. St Junans have won their first game. Gidore beaten in their first game, but won last Sunday. And the same for Kilcar. We talk about them as being the big four. But certainly of those, Neve Connell are the team that are that look to be the ones to beat again. They look like any team that finishes or can beat them in a one-off game will be there or thereabouts, because I can't see them losing that many games. It probably a contest between them and St Junans for the title.
Okay.
Although, you know, there's other teams. Arua have won their first two games, which is unusual. Glenfinn have won their first two games in Division 1, and, you know, they'll take heart from that and the fact that they want to stay in Division 1. And, you know, there are the divisions. The league has changed this year into three divisions rather than four last year. And, you know, you have teams meeting each other that haven't met in quite a while. So there's a novelty attached to that, and that's very good for football. And, you know, you have the bottom teams that were in bottom of Division 4 meeting teams that were probably in Division 3 last year, and they seem to be holding their own at this stage. And, you know, I think we're going to have a very good club scene for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, we look forward to that then, Peter. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us again tonight on the Score. Peter Campbell there of the Donegal Democrat. And by the way, there are fixtures in the All County League on Saturday and Sunday, so plenty of games if you're out there looking to get along to matches. I'm sure there'll be club action close to you. By the way, Carl Harvey was in with us earlier on, the Letterkenny Triathlon Club, and there are contact details there. You can contact and get more information about all that's happening at the club on their Facebook or Instagram pages, and there's a website there too. A new website, by the way, for the club is coming soon, Carl promises us. So that's about it from tonight's programme. There's plenty of sporting action up ahead. Another busy bank holiday weekend. We're looking forward to it. My thanks to our guests on tonight's programme, and thanks to Joe on production as well. Of course, thanks to you for listening. There'll be more sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news from myself, Jeremy Doherty. Have a very good evening.